and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between. Hello.
Hi.
How are you, Sian?
Hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah. Been better?
Yeah.
We should probably say to everybody at the outset that in this episode, we'll be talking about Sian's transfer and everything, but we will also be discussing my recent BFN, recent negative test, just in case anyone would find that too hard. I'm hoping it's not going to be too, you know, sad, but it is quite sad.
Yeah, so, it is.
Just in case anyone's like, oh, I don't want to listen to that right now. There's no bad feelings. Skip ahead if you need to. We will be discussing, the outcome of my recent IVF, me and Carl's. And sadly, guys, it was not what we wanted.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, thank you.
It's just rubbish. Really, really rubbish. And I think this is why we say, oh, look, my cat Bagheera's come to say,
hey, Bagheera. I love him. He literally walks across your computer.
Yeah, all the time. I think this is why, you know, we're very aware of people saying things like, oh, I'm excited and congratulations for this very reason.
Yeah, my friend posted about this on Instagram earlier, and she made a very good point that I've never really connected, which is people say that's exciting when you go through IVF, or people say, you know, congratulations on the IVF, because a lot of people, before they know, and I'm sure we've all done it before, they believe that it's almost a shortcut to having a baby, or it's a listener, it is not a shortcut, but it's like a guarantee. But I think people do. They think like, oh, great, you can't have one naturally, so you just do IVF. Exhibit A, guys, it doesn't always work. But yeah, we're going to talk about it because... And then we're going to talk about, Sian, about your transfer, and you're deep in the two-week wait still. But we're going to talk about it because I didn't want to... I did a little post on Sunday. I mean, should I just tell you what happened?
Yeah, I think you've got to start from the beginning, as in, like way before even testing.
Before the test day. Yeah. So I last left you all in the two-week wait. And I felt quietly optimistic. I felt really cautiously, like, confident. Because in my head, I was like, right, we had a sperm problem and we fixed it. That was the problem identified. And, you know, we did so well with getting the number of blastocysts we had. We've got four. Well, we had four. We've now got three in the freezer. And we did so well with that. We were super happy. They're all good quality, all about the same quality. And I had a good womb, which was lovely.
Let's not forget the doctor saying that your lining was, what was it, fabulous or sensational?
Sensational, guys.
Sensational, yeah.
Everything seemed like, I kept saying to myself, there's no reason why it wouldn't work. There's no reason why it shouldn't go well for us. Like, we've got good odds, good stats, but the stats mean nothing when they're applied to you, you know? so I was, you know, and it's a bit of a lesson to not read into any symptoms that you get, because I was feeling the twinges and I was like, oh, that's implantation. Oh my God, it's doing well. It's getting in there. And you cannot. And one day I had a headache. So I was like, that's it. Oh my God. And then one day
heartburn.
I had heartburn, but I think I just ate my bagel and scrambled eggs a bit too quickly. And yeah, but every little thing you read into, and it's, yeah, don't do that, guys, because I thought they were all positive signs. And then the 2 week wait was ticking along. You know, I had good resolve not to test early, which I was glad about. But then on day 9 post-transfer, I started spotting. And for people that don't know, sorry, TMI, spotting is very, very light bleeding, like you get before a period. So started spotting and immediately panic. Now, spotting in the 2 week wait, spotting in early pregnancy is common. So
very normal.
part of me is like, oh my God, they say that. They say not to panic. And, you know, I emailed the clinic who said, don't worry, we're not too concerned about spotting. Keep an eye on it. Take your test on Sunday as normal. We were so close to test day at that point. But I was like, okay, this could be fine. It could be good. But also I was alarmed because it looked like the start of my period. I've only ever seen that before when my period's coming and I'm going, oh, here we go.
And I remember you messaged me. I was actually in my English class.
Oh God, sorry.
No, don't. But I remember getting the message and being like, oh my God, this is it. I was like, that's implantation bleeding.
This mythical implantation bleeding. And I know some women get it, but every time I've thought I've had it in my TTC life, it's always been the opposite. And yeah, I don't know. I still was feeling quite good about it then, but it didn't get any worse. And then we ended up testing. Basically, my work is such that I have busy weekends. I run a theatre school and we have about 200 students all coming to classes on a Friday and a Saturday. So Friday and Saturday are the big days. obviously they come to different classes and throughout the day and stuff, but I didn't, if I had the weekend free, I probably would have tested on Friday, 7 day, no, that was 9 days post transfer and 2 weeks post egg collection. But I was like, you know what, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I would have been in no fit state to go and work. On the Friday and Saturday. So I held off, and then Saturday evening, Carl and I just said, should we just do one? So I did test 12 hours early.
Yeah.
You know, but by that point, I was like, it's going to show up.
Either way. 16 days. It's been no, it would have been 14 days. 15.
By Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
And Sunday was official test day, but we were like, let's just, you know what, it's going to be tough whatever and whenever, so let's just do it. So I held my wee. I didn't wee for about 3 hours, which is not good, because you have to have really concentrated wee. I was like, okay, I was driving home. I was like, I really need a wee. Yeah, and then Carl and I did the test, did the first test, and I was just like searching for that second line, just searching. And I turned to Carl, I said, I think it's broken. And he was like, no, I don't think it is. Yeah. And I was like, let's just do another one to be sure. And then we did another one. And I'm like, yeah, this one's broken too. Oh, this one's broken. And then I did the old clear blue digital, which I said I wasn't going to do. And it slapped me in the face with a not pregnant. And all the tests, because there were a few. Yeah, all negative. And yeah, we sat there. Oh, there's something as well about the bathroom floor that's so visceral. And that's where we were, because that's where we did it. And you know, I balanced a little cup of wee on the, you know, on the folded down toilet seat. But we were just sat on this cold, hard bathroom floor, and there's something really visceral about that.
Yeah.
And we just kind of sat across from each other. Oh, I'm going to get upset.
Oh.
It's all right.
It's not all right.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right, mate. And you know what? I am fine talking about this. I don't want people thinking I'm not. And this is part and parcel, you know? And I did want to talk about it before, you know, before it kind of sunk in too much, because there's going to be other people sitting on the bathroom floor, you know?
Yeah. You've started me off.
Oh, God, we're only like 15 minutes in.
I know.
Sorry for the swears, guys. Actually, no, I'm not. There's going to be other people, you know, doing the same thing at the moment. And I just don't want people to feel alone. And I feel like this could really help someone else. So that's why. But yeah, we just kind of, and also I'm going to want to remember this at some point, because I know I'm going to look back and I'm going to be like, what was that? Mm. So yeah, we sat there cross-legged and kind of put our hands on each other's knees and just kind of looked at each other and went, yeah, like had a big cry together, a bit like this. One of the first things I said to Carl was, this is going to make us better parents in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when we get there. this is going to make us better, more resilient, more patient. God, the people that just get pregnant and have a lovely old time and then they have a baby and it's a shock, right? I know that having a baby will be a shock, but God, like this bit, like we will have already gone through so much. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's got to make you stronger, right? So we just looked each other in the eye and, just kind of went, not this time. And like one of the first, the weirdest things run through your head. Like one of the first things I thought, and I might have vocalised it to Carl, but I might not have, I can't remember. I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to do another Mother's Day.
Oh.
Not... I know, which is shit. Not being a mum and not being pregnant. And I found Mother's Day last year really difficult. I mean, I think we should definitely do an episode around that, because I know lots of people do, because social media is full of mums and mum posts and mums and babies and all this stuff. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to have to do another one of them. By the way, last Mother's Day, I went out to Sainsbury's. And I bought myself, because it's always near Easter, isn't it? I bought myself a big bunch of flowers and a Lindt chocolate bunny, and I ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I advise doing that on Mother's Day. Buy yourself a little present.
Yeah, I did.
Buy yourself some flowers.
I got some flowers as well, and I ate lots of chocolate, so that was nice.
Yeah. I might get Sweep to buy me some flowers. By Sweep, I mean Carl. Like, it's about time he put his paws in his pocket. I've been his dog mum for... 4.5 years now.
Anyway, I also highly recommend deleting social media for that day as well.
Yeah, God. But, you know, like 10 minutes before driving home, I'm thinking I'm going to be in a different camp. You know, and my friends that are pregnant at the moment or have babies, I was talking to them in a totally different way. And I could listen to those podcasts that maybe have, like, you know, because the podcasts that kind of straddle parenting and fertility, that sort of thing. There are a few and they have kind of episodes on both. And I was listening to those being like, well, I'm going to be in a different club. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm all those friends that are pregnant or are having babies or have had babies, I'm like, I'm not in your club, guys. I'm not there. I'm not there anymore. Mm. And like, you know, the 2 week wait is awful, but at least I could pretend that I was in that club for a little bit, and at least, you know, it's the most pregnant I've ever been. So when we started this, I just said that I wanted, this is very naive, but I said, you know, as long as we have loads of embryos, I think we'll be fine. As long as I have as many embryos as possible, I just wanted loads of chances frozen. I'm like, then we can go back and do another one and another one. And that's probably how people think that haven't been through this. But like, nothing can prepare you for the loss of that one.
Oh.
I know, sorry, I keep laughing. It's like, I keep doing this like nervous giggle. But nothing can prepare you for the loss of that one. And like... people say to you, but you've got more, haven't you? You've got more. And like, I was like, yeah, but I'm really sad for this little one, this little one that we didn't get to meet, and that we won't get to meet. and that could have turned into someone, you know? Like, I'll never know who that is now.
But also, Catherine, just to say, you know, it is a grief that you're going through.
Yeah.
And if someone died, you don't go, let's say your husband died, you don't go, oh, well,
another one.
You could just get another husband, you know?
Yeah.
You would never, ever think to say that. So
Exactly. You know. And that's the thing, like, we have lost something and... You know, I did a little post on our Instagram along with my Instagram because, and I did run it by Carl. I didn't think I would on Sunday, to be honest. I thought whatever it was, you know, I'll just deal with it and, you know, then maybe post later or whatever. But I just said to Carl, I feel sad that this one won't get to be seen because if this embryo made a baby, people would see the baby. But like this picture of this beautiful embryo. I thought it was stunning.
Yeah, it is.
takes after me. But I was like, God, it's so beautiful. And I just want the world to know that we had it, that we had one. Mm. And yeah, like a lot of people were messaging saying the thing that you've lost is so like untangible to other people. Not everyone will understand it, what you've lost, but a lot of people were like, you've definitely lost something and it is a loss. And that's the thing really, sort of ever since. When was that? Sunday? Well, Sunday morning we did another test, but Carl didn't even wake up.
Did he not?
No, not really. He kind of saw me get up for a wee and I just came back in the bedroom and I was just like, yeah, no.
It's because you were so resolute, like that was it. Do you know what I mean? And, which is fair. Yeah.
We had a text from, so I text everyone, you know, obviously. and I happen to be friends with the wonderful Emma, the embryologist.
Shout out to Emma. Thank you.
Who is just the most generous human I've ever met. And she's so great because she will give it to you straight, but with a lot of love. And so I said to her, I said, no chance it's, you know, we're testing tonight and not tomorrow when it's meant to be. Any chance we tested too early? And she went, no, it would have shown up by now.
Aww.
And I just texted back and I said, thanks, we needed that. We needed that. Because people that aren't in the know as well, a lot of people like family and friends who mean really well, they were like, well, you know, just test again in a few days. I'm like, this one doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Like by this point, the day they give you is the last, you know, the last. That's why they say not to test before then. And ever since really, yeah, it's been, that was Saturday night, Sunday, and now we're on Tuesday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So yeah, a couple of days later. So it's still very fresh. And it is like a grief and it is, yeah, it hits you in waves and you can be absolutely fine. And then all of a sudden, like it comes crashing over you like a big wave and it goes, and it kind of knocks you over. And it's quite unexpected. Yeah, so...
Catherine, I am so, so sorry. I cannot tell you how much I wanted it for you and Carl. I really did. And
thanks, my love.
When you were messaging me on Saturday night...
Yeah.
I was just absolutely devastated. How is Carl doing? Because obviously it's quite easy for us to forget that the men are part of this, you know?
Yeah. Well, definitely the same. And this is where I'm so grateful that he is in touch with his emotions because he will tell me and we'll cry about it together. Yeah, so we've done a lot of crying together. Not always on the bathroom floor, but, you know, we are there for each other. I'm so grateful for him and I'm so grateful we've got each other. Mm-hmm. And, I would say... Yeah, fertility was difficult at the beginning when perhaps you're trying to match up on the like levels of worry when one of you's going, this isn't working, and the other one, I know we've discussed this, the other one, like I think Carl for a while just thought, oh, it's fine, you know, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But then since we got proper kind of medical help with it, it's different for everybody, and I know it does put huge strain on some relationships, but I'm so fortunate that it's only really brought us closer.
Yeah,
I've never felt closer to him. And I felt so grateful that I've got him, you know, so.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's all right. But like we keep kind of picking each other up, which is quite handy, really, that we don't start crying at the same time, because the other one could be like, okay. So, like, one of us will go, and then the other one, and then, yeah, like, you know, undulating a little bit up and down. Yeah, but it is really, really fresh. And I don't think anything really prepares you. Like I say, how naive was I going into it, being like, well, we'll do another one, as long as I've got embryos, you know, frozen. Mm. And I'm aware some people don't have embryos frozen as well.
Yeah.
You know, which is a whole other thing.
Awful.
But, yeah, but... Sorry, sniffly. But we weren't really prepared for that feeling of, yeah, but this one, you know, this one is gone now. Mm. So, yeah.
Can I ask, like,
yeah,
how are you, how do you, okay, two questions. For those that are listening who might be in a similar position,
yeah.
Do you have any advice, like even on the Sunday, you know, how did you even get through the Sunday?
Well, we made a plan, regardless, that we could easily cancel. So we booked a table at our favourite pub for a roast dinner. And we thought, well, we can cancel that, you know, easily on the day or whatever, or the day before, or however we felt. And we also planned to take the dog somewhere really nice for a walk, because, you know, that was going to get us up, get us out. Fresh air is good. The weather's been awful as well, which really hasn't helped.
No.
Like, I just like a bit of blue sky. But can't complain. Our walk was dry. And then, yeah, and we did actually keep that booking at the pub. We went for a pub roast, which was so nice. I had a big glass of wine.
As you should. As you bloody well deserve that.
And it was delicious.
Good.
And Anna had a glass of English sparkling. She's
gorgeous.
Bougie, guys. She's bougie. but yeah, so that was a little silver lining. And I had a very hot bath, which I'm going to have another hot bath tonight, I think.
Yeah.
All those things that I've been denying myself, you know. I had the beef at the pub because, like, if I was pregnant, I'd probably have the chicken, because the beef always comes a little bit like medium rare, which I love. And so I was able to have that. And so I know you talked about your plans for the test day, and maybe making a plan A and a plan B. And I don't think it even has to be a plan A of this is a positive test plan and this is a negative test plan, because, you know, you might fancy it. Like, we still fancy going out, and I'm glad we did. You know, we did get to the pub, and there was a baby screaming in the corner as soon as we got there. I was like,
of course,
can you not, mate? Come on.
Yeah.
But it's a Sunday in a, you know, in a pub in Surrey, there's going to be families and babies. Cool, whatever. But yeah, we actually still fancied doing that, and I'm glad we did. But maybe make a going out plan and a staying in plan.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, just, you've got to feel the feelings, and it's awful. But there is no shortcut. There is no getting around it. There is no way to just sleep through it. I did say to Carl on Sunday night, was it Sunday or was it Monday? No, it was Sunday night. I said about 9 o'clock, I was like, right, I'm going to bed. And I said, I'm not even that tired. I just don't really want to be awake anymore, which is really depressing. But that you can't cheat it, and there's no quick fix. And you've got to go through it, go through the feelings and feel the feelings. I also had a bleed, because you get a bleed when you come off. So I've stopped taking progesterone and everything. And you get a bleed after that, and it's not a real period, because you've been on synthetic hormones, so it's your body's response to you not being pregnant, really. But God, it's a mammoth period. It's the worst non-period period I've ever had. I'm like, oh, because I guess it's my massive lining shedding. Yeah, just like, and I'm a bit crampy and everything, so, like, as if it wasn't bad enough, they slap you with a period as well.
Yeah, like, bloody hell.
No, come on, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a follow-up appointment booked in with Dr. Brooker, my fave. So yeah. Funny. This is a bit... I don't think Carl realised what he was saying until he said it. Sorry if this sounds crude. But I said, you know, we've got an appointment in a couple of weeks with Dr. Brooker. Mm. And I said, it's worth, you know, waiting. We want to speak to him rather than any other consultant, because he's done my egg collection, he's done my scans, you know, did our initial appointment. And Carl went, yeah, because, you know, he really knows you inside out. And then I'm like, literally.
Yeah, he knows it all.
He's seen all of my womb. Yeah. So, yeah, lovely Dr. Brooker. We've got an appointment with him again in a couple of weeks' time. And we talk about, yeah, the next steps and the options. And again, we do feel very grateful that we've got the opportunity to go straight in for a frozen embryo transfer. Mm. But it's so funny because if you get here, and Sian, you'll know that I text you, because I know we were like, oh God, what happens if one of us gets pregnant, the other one doesn't? And I was like, oh, is there going to be jealousy, or which there might be a touch of, I know. But I texted you, didn't I? And I said, just to reassure you, I have never wanted this for you more, you know?
Oh God.
Oh, sorry.
I am so emotional at the moment.
Yeah, but you're on a ton of hormones as well. It's the hormones, it's the hormones.
Yeah.
But like, I honestly, I've never wanted this for you more. And I am just, oh God. And I wanted good news for you beforehand, but I am willing you to have good news, because I don't want to see you here. If you do get here, you've got company. I'll put the kettle on. But, yeah. You know, like, I do not want you to... I wouldn't wish this on anybody, and least of all you and Andrew. So, yeah, but I said, if you get here, or if anyone gets here, like, your brain does such weird things. And I know the positivity will come back. But in this moment, I'm like... And it's great we can go back in for a fresh transfer, but I'm like, but how is it ever going to work? How?
Mm.
How could it work? We had a good embryo, good womb, fixed sperm problem, and it still didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how? How does it work? And I'm like, well, it doesn't. It's just not going to work. But, and that's not me being negative, like, oh, it's not going to work. But I'm just, it baffles me. But I think that's just where my brain is. I'm just really struggling to comprehend it going well, but I know that it does for a lot of people. Yeah. And you know, I did say as well, Carl reminded me of this, I did say on the day of transfer, and again, I'm not scientific, I'm not a medical professional, but I did say I feel battered. I felt my recovery from egg collection was so slow. I still felt really sore and tender in my tummy, in my lower tummy, and I was like, should I be doing a transfer? And they were like, yeah, it's fine. As long as you've not got OHSS, you're fine. And I guess I was fine, but I did feel absolutely wrecked. Like my body had been through so much. And some people say that a frozen transfer can just let your body calm down. Part of me goes, was my body not ready for it? You know, was my body like, no, we can't deal with anything else at the moment. So I know that a lot of people do have success with a frozen, and they do have success the second time. And every time is totally different.
Yeah, different egg, different sperm. Egg, and I know it's not the one that you wanted in that moment. Do you know what I mean? In that moment.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
It is. Yeah, because that one just didn't want to stick around, I suppose. But as well, like, they change things every time. And I'll be honest, again, this is just the headspace I'm in right now. I feel a bit angry. I feel like the drugs let me down, because, like, why was I spotting on progesterone?
Yeah.
Why was I starting to bleed? Well, okay, maybe, like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, was the progesterone not high enough? And then I was like, why did no one check my progesterone levels? And I think it's because NHS is amazing, and NHS care is wonderful. We are so lucky to be receiving it for, you know, up to 2 rounds of IVF until we're successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do get a feeling that perhaps, like, you know, it's a bit trial and error, because they've never done it to me before. They don't know how I'm going to respond. And I just feel like maybe my body wasn't supported enough by the drugs.
Yeah.
And so going into the next one, because there's questions about whether to do a fresh, do a medicated or a natural cycle. So you can follow your natural cycle and transfer it at a time when your body's doing all the work. But, and I'm sure that Dr. Brooke is going to have thoughts on that and feelings either way. But I did email ACU and I did just say, I am now really wary of it because of the spotting. I would like to discuss a medicated cycle. And again, I don't know, but it is my body. Mm. And I'll listen to everything and I'll listen to all the pros and cons, but I just feel like maybe I'm not trusting my body to do it on its own now.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're in that headspace because right now, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're searching, aren't you? You're like, what is it? I want to know. Why? I want to put this puzzle together so that this doesn't happen again, which is fair. There's Sweepy.
Sweepy. I think Carl might be home.
So Carl's come home.
Carl's just come home. The dog's very excited.
Say Carl. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Obviously, I can't actually hear Sian.
I've got headphones
that's
in.
That's all right.
Just to give the listeners a couple of words.
Just to say, you know, thanks for all of the inbox messages. Literally hundreds. I'm working my way through them.
He thinks he's a celeb now.
I've hired a PA to just start working through them. Most Stop. Of you will get a personalised one, but not quite everybody.
Stop.
But I will be back soon due to popular demand.
You're
Thank
feeding
you.
His ego, guys.
No, in all seriousness, there has actually been lovely messages, and thank you.
Yeah.
Because
oh, very kind.
Yeah.
Okay. Love to you, Sian.
Oh, please, Carl. Do send my love. I need to message him.
Now,
actually.
Go away. Go away and be quiet. But yeah, on that note, actually, everyone has been so gorgeous.
I know.
And this is the good thing about sharing it. You hopefully help other people, but also everyone gives you love, and even if people don't say quite the, everyone pretty much has said the right thing. They've been listening to the podcast, clearly. but everyone has been so wonderful, and they just, you know, they show love in their way, in the best way they can. Mm. But yeah, you were saying we are in searching mode.
You're like in searching mode, aren't you? Because you're trying to fix a puzzle or find the pieces to the puzzle. So it doesn't happen again. And it makes absolute sense. And I think, you know, this is where I think that appointment is going to be vital.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm fully prepared for them to maybe say, we don't really know. It just doesn't work sometimes. And that's the really cruel thing about IVF is we don't know what went on in there, what the issue was. It could have been a number of things. And often it's still, you can have the perfect, you know, settings, as it were, and it's a coin toss still, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So and there's all those thoughts that go through your head. Yeah, and also, yeah, it's really hard because the amount of people, again, really well-meaning people that have said to me, especially on your first go of IVF, they go, it's gonna happen, I know it's gonna happen. It's going to happen for you.
Oh my God, it makes me cringe. Catherine, I'm literally sitting here cringing. I hate hearing it.
And you know what? I think I probably did believe it too, because it's our first round. I'm like, yeah, sure. And, you know, someone messaged me on my Instagram a while ago, before we started IVF, but we were prepping for it, and they told me to trust the universe and believe and I shall receive. And I'm like, well, I really believed it, why didn't I receive, you know? And it goes along with the whole everything happens for a reason, if it's meant to be. I'm like, oh, so it's just not meant to be, is it?
Yeah.
And it's all of that stuff that again, your brain, my brain at the moment just reminds me about, and I'm like, it's really tough because all these people will have said all of those things with love, but right now I'm like, could you not? A bit angry at the people that told me it's gonna happen, it'll happen for you.
Yeah. And I have to say, when you told me on Saturday, that was one of my first obviously my first thought was, oh my God, I'm devastated. But I then got really angry because I was like, I hate it when people say you know, oh, it's exciting. And, but, you know, I just have a feeling it's going to work for you. Oh, please, but you don't know.
It's really hard because there's a lot of anger anyway.
Yeah, and is it misplaced? It, you know.
Yeah, I'm not an angry person. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm not really confrontational. I cry. I just crumble. Mm. Like my default is to cry, or like I'm more emotional than angry. But I feel like it's probably quite common that anger does play a part, because again, you look at other people who have this so easily and you're like, why is it so easy for you and so hard for me?
And that is going to make you angry in a way. And again, I know that's misplaced, but it does, because it's kind of like,
and it's no one's fault.
It's no fault, and it just feels so unfair.
And you don't know who to be angry at, and you can't really be angry at anyone.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of feelings and it's very complicated a lot of the time. Mm. Yeah, so I don't know, but we've, you know, we're going to get a plan in place. We were actually offered a last minute appointment today. I've got another friend who is an angel of a woman who works at the hospital, and she was like, I know the secretary. I'm going to get in touch, see if I can get you an earlier appointment. And that friend is just so gorgeous. But they phoned me up to say, they were like, you could come in today if you want. And Carl was working. Mm. And, you know, I also said, I think it's a bit soon. You know, I don't think we'd make good use of an appointment that early. But so actually, I'm quite glad in a way we've got a couple of weeks, which isn't a long time in the grand scheme of things, to kind of let the dust settle, get our questions together. Because we will have questions, we will have things to talk through, but I think that appointment will really help. And then the plan is to wait for a full cycle of mine, so a real period, the next real period after that, we can start prepping for a frozen, which in theory could be quite soon, but, you know, I don't know what my cycle's going to do. It might play tricks on me. Yeah. It might take a while. I mean, before, I've come off of hormones and it's gone back to normal quite quickly. When I was on the pill, I came off it and my cycle came back, you know, immediately. So fingers crossed, but stress plays a part. And I just don't know. I've never been here before. So I am prepared to be a little bit patient, but we could be looking at end of March, early April. Yeah, so we could be looking at around then. And
do you feel like that's a good thing to give you a bit of a break, do you think? Or would you rather start like soon?
It's really hard because I think both, because in my head, well, again, it's so funny. It's not funny, but it's so weird. The first things you say when you see that negative test. And one of the first things was like, how quickly can we do a frozen? Right. When can we go again? Because just want to get back on the horse. When's my next chance? When's my next opportunity? But I do see the merit in having some time just to, yeah, just to be a bit normal again. I feel like I need my sparkle back a little bit because I feel just so like dulled.
Yeah.
And I got my roots done today. That was nice. Got my hairs did.
Blooming gorgeous.
Much fresher. Yeah. Because I've just been a bit of a slug all of January.
You haven't, you really haven't, but
I feel like it. But like, you know, we haven't, our 2025 so far has just been a lot of intense treatment and IVF and injections and scans and appointments. And again, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. But part of me is like, do we just take this time to chill for a little bit? But part of me is like, no. Also, I've gotten into some really good habits. Like I haven't drank alcohol since starting treatment, apart from Sunday. So I'm like, I really want to stay off of that. And it's personal choice. I know in between cycles, a lot of people do kind of go back, but I have the odd one here or there, I suppose. But I don't know, I liked the break from alcohol.
Yeah.
I was starting to, I don't know if we've said this before on the podcast, but I was starting to get quite upset before. And this was kind of October time when we were starting to have appointments, but no treatment. And if I would go out with my friends or with Carl or whatever and have a few drinks, normally I'd be like, well, that was a great night, really fun. I would wake up the next day and get really upset. because I just think that I've ruined everything, and that everyone's different, and everyone, you've got to have a life, you've got to have balance. But for me, the alcohol, the after effects was making me so upset that I was like, I think it might need to go for the most part.
It's so, also, you're going to be pregnant. Do you know what I mean? You will one day. Do you know what I mean? And in a way, not, it's doing that preconception plan.
I hope
not
that
drinking.
I would have a dry year, you know?
Exactly. And
so, a little glass of wine was nice, but I do want to keep up those. You know, I'm really good on my protein and eating well and not going crazy, not, you know, cutting out anything or just eating, or not following any specific diet, but just eating really well, being sensible.
Yeah.
So I think the next few weeks, maybe a couple of months, however long it is, it's going to be project feel good, feel good in ourselves and get as strong as possible for one of our little frosties to go in.
And I'm not
sure it likes it.
I know. And I was going to say as well, in terms of fitness and stuff, I cannot wait to get back.
Ooh, I did an exercise class today at F45.
Was it
lovely
good?
Carl works there at the one in Kingston. It was great, but I didn't do very much. But walked in, and because everyone's so lovely there, they all give me a big hug and I start crying again.
Aww.
Of course I do. But, you know, and then they were so lovely, the trainers that were on. They were like, right, cause it was a partner workout, and they were like, do you want to be with anyone? And I was like, no, I really don't. I want to be on my own. They were like, okay, Catherine's going to do it on her own. She's not going to be with a partner in a station. And they were like, right, well, on this one, you could just do abs if you want it. And basically, I just did whatever I wanted. They were like, you don't want to do that exercise? No, don't do that one. I know. Why don't you do a deadlift? And then I didn't do much. I spent a lot of the time sort of just sitting there or just kind of chatting. But it was a really nice way to be back in the world again, see some people, see some friendly faces. I did about 3 squats. I'm still going to ache tomorrow.
Yeah, of course you will.
That was a nice little like dipping my toe back into exercise.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else about me you want to know? Or
I just wondered how it's maybe changed, as in has it changed or morphed into anything, this kind of grief? Do you think?
I think it's too soon, really. It's still very like fresh and very up and down, and yeah, one minute we're fine, the next minute, like this morning we both felt really wobbly. I think it's just we're quite fragile, you know. It feels like, oh, if you like, you know, like the wind could blow me over. If you like brush past me, it would probably hurt. That kind of thing. But it will get better, and I know I'm going to find that positivity again. And this is what we do, you know. I said, again, one of the first things I said was, we do this as many times. And look, it's easy for me to say that after one failed cycle. I can totally understand how people feel differently. Some people feel differently after one or after two.
Or two, you know.
But especially people further down the line, you know, they will feel different. They might feel different, but at the moment I'm like, we do this as many times as it takes to get where we want to be. And I'm like, we just keep going, because as well, we just want that one baby, like, yeah. And at the moment, that I feel, that's quite a good sign. That's a good sign that I'm gonna bounce back all right, because I'm already going, well, we'll just do it again, and then we'll do it again and again and again. Obviously there are constraints with our NHS rounds, and then it runs into
money
when we have to pay for it and stuff, but look, that's too far ahead.
You are not there yet. You
exactly.
are not
we might
there.
Not get there
exactly.
So yes, so that is me, but thanks for the love, everybody. But Sian, enough about me. Tell us about your transfer. So you were about to, we did the Hannah Pern podcast the day before, which was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. Check it out, everybody, if you haven't listened.
Hannah Pern, it's called Don't Tell Me to Relax, and it's an amazing podcast. And Hannah Pern invited us on.
Yeah, it was really good. And also out there, it's a really great community, Don't Tell Me to Relax, on the Facebook group. So highly recommend joining that. That was the day before transfer. I was actually feeling okay, I think, the night before. I was feeling okay. we had found out that we had our, from where we picked off, I suppose, before, that we had possibly two. That was kind of where we were at.
I want to take you back a little bit further, because on this podcast, you were sort of saying...
Oh, yeah.
Kiss the fertilised eggs. Yeah. You had 12, right?
Yeah, I had 12.
And you were like, like we might have six embryos.
Yeah, and then I got a phone call.
Oh,
bloody phone call. This is the thing with IVF. You think you're fine, you're up. And then something will knock you back down again.
Yeah, you can't get too... Get too complacent.
Oh no, you absolutely can't. Yeah, I got a phone call saying you have. Oh my god, what did they say?
So how many? I can't remember. It today?
What day?
Day three.
Four. So they said you've got four, and I was a bit like, out of how many? Four.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm really confused. Four, and they sort of said, well, there's another couple that might be catching up, but I mean, to be honest, on Wednesday, you should be looking at two, basically.
Because there's another. So that was on day three, and then and then they expect to drop off.
Yeah.
After that, so that's really brutal.
Yeah. So they kind of said, look, four's definitely happening. Another two, possibly. But to be quite honest, I think from between now and then, you're looking at two, basically. And so I was like, oh, we've really dropped off, like quite considerably from 12. I really didn't expect that. Mm. And they were just like, it's actually quite normal. And I cannot lie, I didn't think it was normal.
Well, it's just so unpredictable, isn't it? I suppose maybe what they meant was it can be normal.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt a little bit disappointed, obviously, but also I feel bad saying that because some people get to that stage and have nothing, you know?
Yeah, but it was a massive kind of recalibrating, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I was like, oh my God, maybe we'll get three. I don't know. But yeah, they essentially said there's four definitely going. You've got another two that might be coming. But, you know, three, two, that's kind of where we're at. And I was like, oh, God, okay. So then on Wednesday, it was later on in the day. And I had acupuncture in the morning. So I got myself to acupuncture. And then I came back. And then I'm meant to, like, not eat 6 hours before,
because you were going under sedation.
Yeah, I was going under sedation and not drink 2 hours before. Now, my friends listening, because probably not that many people will have done a transfer under sedation, trying to juggle an acupuncture appointment, right, which is an hour, with the fact that by the end of that I only had about 10 minutes to drink water before it was the end of my 2 hour sort of end of, you know, fasting. So I only had 10 minutes after my acupuncture appointment to drink some water, and that was it until after the sedation.
So you've got to fill up your bladder that time.
Well, the annoying thing was I'd gone to acupuncture and I really needed the loo. Aww. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so luckily he was like, just use the loo now. And then I've got 10 minutes to drink some water. And then, you know, I've got the 2 hours to wait. And I've just got to hope that within that 2 hours, it will just fill up.
It fills up. Yeah, and it did, didn't it?
Oh, did it fill up? I was in the waiting room and they were about an hour late. But honestly, about 15, 20 minutes in, I was like, I really need the loo. And of course, it was so funny when we arrived. Andrew was like, I'm going to go to the loo. I was like, oh, good, good, good for you.
Oh, enjoy that.
Yeah, I was like, good. And then he completely forgot that I wasn't allowed to drink anything. So he was like, do you want a decaf coffee? I was like, nope, I'm not allowed. He was like, oh, going to help myself to a coffee? Oh, good. Glad you enjoy that. So they were about an hour late and I was getting a bit twitchy because I was like, do I let a little bit of wee out? Do I not? What do I do? But I thought, no, I'm going to hold it in. And then when they called us in, they were lovely, really, really lovely. It felt like a whirlwind. It was quite quick, everything that happened. As soon as I went in, it was sensory overload for me. Really loads of people. And the anaesthetist, the doctor, the embryologist, there was people everywhere, bright lights. Like, it was just busy. And I was just like, whoa. And that's when the fear probably crept in there, especially when the embryologist came in. And then she started telling us about the embryo that they were transferring. And all I could think was, she's really going on about this one embryo. Is that all we have? Is that why she's doing it? And then eventually I said, sorry, do we have another one at all frozen? And she said, yes, you've got one more, but I'm afraid the others don't look like they're going to make it.
Oh,
I know. And I was like, oh, God. And I said to her, well, we had 19. I'm really confused. And she said, I'm sorry, but this is what happens. And, you know, that's it, really. And it's normal. So
you thought at that point you had two, one to put back and one to freeze.
Yeah. And I was really, obviously, I'm so grateful that we had the minimum. Do you know what I mean? That I wanted. The minimum I wanted was one to freeze in case this doesn't work and one to put back in. So in a way, I was like, okay, I made my peace with it pretty quickly. And I was like, okay, well, we kind of were told that, you know, a couple of days before to expect it. And this is what we've got. So I got myself ready. They took me in. I found, because you had a different, you found it sort of slightly different, but I found that when they put me in, like, the stirrups and they velcroed my legs.
Oh, yeah, you didn't like it, did you?
I hated it.
I felt quite liked it. I felt quite strapped in, like, secure.
Oh, my God, I hated it. I felt like I was, like, about to be put in a straitjacket or something.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, my God, I feel completely like I can't escape.
I felt like it was like a weighted blanket. I was like, ooh, that's nice. But I had a different experience totally at my transfer anyway.
Yeah, know? Yeah. I mean, because Andrew couldn't come in, so he was waiting. And then
he couldn't come in?
No.
He wasn't in there?
No.
Because you're under station?
Yeah.
So Andrew didn't see it?
No.
Oh.
I know.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. Needs must, but yeah.
I know. So it is a bit sad that we didn't get that.
Yeah.
I don't know, I found the whole thing just very, like, overwhelming. Sensory overload, you know? They were very, I think they were behind on time. They were doing a really good job, but then there was, like, moments where they were like, confirm your name and date of birth, and his name and date of birth. And I was like, oh my God, I can't remember what year Andrew was born in. And I was just, like, so full of adrenaline.
I think I forgot my own birthday when they asked me that.
It's just so funny. It's just so weird. And then I fell asleep pretty quickly. And I woke up like 15 minutes later. Andrew filmed me actually. He filmed me. It's a really horrible video. Like, you know, the angle in which you're lying. I'm sorry, the vanity here. But I was just like, oh, like I look like a thumb. I looked like a thumb. I did. But it was, what did I say? He said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel so drunk. And he was like, oh, you've had one too many, have you? And I went, yep, the point of no return.
That's so funny.
And he was like, oh, okay.
Like a wild night out.
He was like, oh, okay. And then I went, and have they put it back in? And then he said, well, what? And I said, the embryo. And then he said, well, they better had, otherwise you're going back in there for another round. And I went, oh, no, no.
So, Andrew, don't play with me.
Yeah, I was like,
don't tease me. That's so funny.
Oh, it was funny. And then I got my custard creams that time, so that was nice.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm glad you got those.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I got up pretty quickly. I was like, I'm fine. I'm a bit dizzy, but I'm fine. And then we just got off. We left. And then Andrew dropped me at acupuncture on the way home. And that was good.
Acupuncture. You went for it.
double on the same day.
I did it the day before and the day after, but I had a scan the morning of, and then my transfer was in the afternoon. So yeah, but
yeah, it's just they do. I don't know. I obviously weren't. I wasn't going to have a scan, so
yeah,
you know.
So you could.
So I could, and it was a nice session. Fell asleep.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then Andrew waited for me outside, and then we went and drove to McDonald's. Obviously. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't regret those chips, even though it didn't work.
God no, I'll have them again.
Again.
Yeah. McDonald's chips and a burger. We had a burger as well. Nice. That was nice. Came home, chilled, and that was the end of that, really. And then obviously now 2 week wait. Oh no! Oh my god, I got so ill. Really ill.
Oh yeah, you've been poorly, haven't you? Yeah. Coldy.
I lost my voice completely, basically. It sounded like, who's the character in Monsters Inc.?
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah.
That one.
Mike Wazowski. Sounded like her. So yeah, sounded like her. So, yeah, I was like that. I've only just recovered from yesterday, really.
Oh, bless you. I know. It's not what you want, really, when you're trying to be, like, zen pregnant person.
No, and in the two-week wait, I'm like, oh, my God, because your head just plays tricks, doesn't it? It goes, that's it. Yeah. It's not worked because I was
100%.
Sick. You know, so obviously I've got that in my head.
Which is not true.
No, it's not true. But also, we just don't know. We just don't know. And I think I was so shocked at, you know, not hearing it hadn't worked, you know, for you. Yeah.
You forgot to say you got a call the day after.
Oh, my God.
So you thought you had two embryos and then...
So I'm going around the houses.
It's been a wild week.
Oh my God, it's just been so much.
So mad.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because they were looking to see how many might. They said, they said maybe there's one that might make it to day six. Mm. And so on day six, you get a call.
I get a call on day six from an embryologist. And she said, I'm really pleased to tell you that another two had made it.
Yay!
Yeah.
Little troopers.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the gradings I don't really understand made me laugh. It was a 4 minus BB. So I don't know what that means. Oh. In my head as a teacher, I'm like, oh, there were like 2 marks off.
See me after class.
Yeah.
To that embryo.
Exactly. But they're like pretty good, like they're good quality, really.
Yeah, they're the same as, well, we've got 4 BBs now in the freezer.
There you go.
And you ended up with exactly the same amount after all of that, like, journey.
After 19, we're back at 4, guys. So,
and we started with 10 and we got to 4.
Yeah.
So it's just mad. It just shows you there's just no guessing, is there?
There's no guessing.
So you've now got 3 in the freezer.
We've got 3 in the freezer. Nice. And I'm glad about that. And yeah, I did say, just because they're slow to get to blastocyst stage, what does that mean? And she said, actually, they've got very, very good odds, the same as any other blastocyst. So that's really reassuring. So that's good. And
tell
then,
us about the 2 week wait. So you're now 6 days post transfer. So you've gotten through a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
But how are you coping?
I had been fine until I heard your news.
Oh, sorry.
And I had, no, but it's not, it's God, no, it's just that I was
no, I know what you
shocked.
Mean.
I was shocked. Yeah. I was really shocked. And I think it was just such a reminder that it doesn't work sometimes, you know?
Yeah, for no apparent reason.
Yeah. And it's just, it shook me to my core. And I have found it hard. Obviously, you know, it's a 1 in 3 chance, isn't it? It's 30-35%, really. That's what they said at King's. I said, what are the odds of this working? And they went, really, realistically, 30-35%. And I went,
brutal.
Oh, good. oh, good, great, you know.
It's just so brutal, isn't
yeah, it? Yeah, it is. That's one third. That is one third. I'm thinking of, like, you know, one of those pie charts that you get in a maths class, and they're like, you know, a third of that is something. I don't know. Yeah. It's just really hard. So, yeah, I've prior to that, I was kind of plodding along all right, apart from being ill. But from this time, I've really struggled.
So the two, I think the last part of the 2 week wait is the hardest bit, and I don't want to scare you, but the last few days, like, that's why we took a test, and, you know, 12 hours early, because we just wanted to be put out of our misery. And I think because the longer it goes on, there's nothing to do in this bit. There's no injections, there's no check-ins, there's no scans. It's like, right, okay, off you go and do a test on this day, and you just have to wait it out, and it's really hard.
I mean, we've got the pessaries, haven't we? So we've got those progesterone pessaries. But I think me and Andrew had a discussion about it. Actually, we were like, what are we going to do? Will we test early? I don't think we are. I think we are going to stick to Sunday morning. Yeah. I just think, I don't know, I'm just really worried about it. I don't want it to ruin my Saturday night. That's what I keep thinking. So I just want, I think Sunday, and we're going to come up with a couple of plans that we're going to put into action depending on the outcome. But I can't lie. I felt really miserable. Yesterday, I kind of blessed my department. Was so nice. I literally cried, I think, about four times.
Oh,
I know. And they were lovely. And it's great because I said I was ill and I still had a husky voice. If any kids saw me, I was like, I've just got a really streaming cold.
Oh, yeah. Play that card. Yeah.
And they literally looked at me and was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, oh, yeah, she looks ill.
She looks ill. But I think that's where we're at. And I did have a therapy session last night. And one thing that really helped me, actually, is she said, just know that it's not Sunday yet. That this is where you are.
Yeah, you're not there yet.
You're not there yet. And she said, even on Saturday night, you're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's like, focus on what you've got in that moment.
She said something nice as well, which I'm really going to take, that you told me about. She said, hope usually wins over fear. And that's why people do this so many times, because the hope wins out every time.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, the hope is stronger.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's at the point where the hope isn't stronger and the fear is stronger that it starts to change. But yeah, hope is nice. We like hope.
We do like hope. I think it was so funny though, because when I told Andrew that yesterday, he went, you were pretty bloody fearful before starting though.
Maybe not for you.
Yeah, it was like, But yeah. I mean, I agree. I think, you know, there's still hope. I do feel hope. And I'm grateful for that right now. But also, next week for me is half term. And
that's quite well timed.
It is really well timed. But also, you know, Andrew's working. So if it's not the news that we had hoped, I'm really a bit nervous about what I'm going
to
do.
I'll get in my car. I'll drive round to you. I'll bring like snacks and like flowers, and we can just sit and cry together. That sounds fun.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
I'll do that for you, babe.
Oh, that's very kind. I just, next week I'm a bit like, oh God, what am I going to do?
But look, you might not, you might be feeling pregnant and wonderful. So let's keep that, you know? Come on. I'm so sorry that my... Like, I don't know, I feel like I have brought you down a bit.
Oh my God, you really haven't. And I'm really sorry, my pessimism in this moment.
God, look at us, we're both apologising.
No, but I do feel, you know, what have I got to be sad about? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not happened yet. But
it's preemptive, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, I'm trying to protect myself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And look, I went the opposite way. I was... convinced. I was bloody naming it and everything. I was working out my due date. So,
aww.
You know, so there's no right way to do this. There's no right or wrong way, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I just want to know.
I know, it's horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, Sunday is Sian's official test day. You're exactly a week behind me. So, guys, yeah. there will probably not be an episode Monday morning again.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Whatever the outcome. Yeah. But we will record soon. Sian, is there anything else you want to say or talk about? Or?
I don't really think there is, really. Okay. Just that I hope everyone out there is doing all right. And yeah.
There's quite a few in 2 week waits with us that have been messaging us, so I hope they're all doing okay. And also, oh my God, the amount of people that have been messaging us about their egg collection or their, you know, embryos or their transfers, and then they're replying to me about my failed round. And I had to message them all saying the same thing to you, Sian. I just said, don't let this scare you. Everyone is different. I want good things for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to scare those people, but, you know, we all know though, don't we? We all know the reality of it.
Unfortunately,
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but
yeah,
you know.
But and yeah, I hope everyone's okay, and anyone who's had a really crappy result from this, just know that, you know, we really feel for you, we're here for you, and please,
you're not alone,
and you're here, like, we're here if you want to message and reach out, we're here to say hi.
You can follow us on Instagram at IVFBFFpod, and you can email us at IVFBFFpod@gmail.com. I gotta say, I'm rubbish at replying to the emails.
I know, because we had a few.
Because I never log in, and I'm gonna reply to them. If you've emailed, I've like read the message, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna reply to that, but it's not on my phone. In a normal way, like my other emails are. So, but I am going to do it. We haven't forgotten about you. So you can email us and you will get a reply.
Yeah, you will. They're really great emails as well.
Oh,
and
so great. I just love that people are taking time to like connect with us and chat with us. And we're getting to know people quite well in the DMs, aren't we?
I know. We should do a meetup at some point. Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Take this IRL.
Yeah. Oh, my cats are... I think we're coming to the end. The cats have lost their minds.
Oh, yeah. The dog's gone upstairs with Carl. I've banished them both. So.
Aww.
So, yeah, guys, give us a follow. Have a chat. And then, yeah, we will be back soon.
Soon.
Keep everything crossed for Sian, guys.
Oh, my God. This time, the next time we do a podcast, I'm going to know.
You're
oh, my God.
Know. It's just mad.
Oh, I feel a bit sick.
Oh, yeah. I'm just... wanting all the good things for you, my love. All the good things.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, toes crossed, arms and legs crossed.
Arms and legs crossed. All right, bye everyone.
See you later, guys.
See you later.
Bye.